The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law and the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus entered into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then rising up, he commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. But the men wondered, saying, what manner of man is this? For the winds and the sea obey him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And they came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Words taken from today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, we know that our Lord worked many miracles during his life. And the knowledge that we have of our Lord's miracles is contained in sacred scripture. But not all the miracles our Lord worked were recorded by the apostles in sacred scripture. St. John the Evangelist, the author of the fourth gospel, gives us the reason as to why each and every miracle which our Lord worked was not written down in the scriptures. In chapter 21 of his gospel, St. John tells us, but there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written, every one, the world itself, I think, would not be able to contain the books that should be written. So, my dear friends, we should have a profound respect for those things which Jesus did, which are recorded in the scriptures. Because we know they're just a select few of the countless other works and miracles which he did accomplish. And in today, we are given one of these miracles. The importance for the miracle today applies directly to us. Because like the apostles in the boat, we need a greater confidence in God. We read that our Lord is asleep on the boat with his apostles, and a raging tempest breaks out. Our Lord is there in the back of the boat, and the whole sky is in total darkness. The waves are literally rolling over the boat. The apostles are scrambling to man the sails, and they're just trying to stay on deck without getting swept away. And our Lord is sleeping. The apostles, panicking, they run to our Lord. But even though our Lord is asleep, he still knows exactly what is going on. He knows the whole situation, that the ship is imminently about to collapse, to drown. He knows that. A few more hits from the massive waves will probably shatter it and then send the apostles into the churning waters. And our Lord knows how precarious their position is. And yet, what does he do? He sleeps. And so the apostles awake him, crying out, "Lord, save us. We perish." We wonder what our Lord must have thought as he awoke and saw them in a panic. And we also wonder what the apostles must have thought as they approached our Lord and saw him there asleep. What must they have been thinking? And our Lord, seeing their terror, their panic-stricken state, says to his apostles, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And he then rises and commands the winds and the sea, and the great calm comes over the waters. The sky is clear, the waters are smooth, calmness is restored. The elements of nature obey him. There are two important points to be made in this passage of the gospel. One has to do with faith, and the other has to do with fear. First, our Lord, on awaking, told his apostles that they were of little faith. In other words, our Lord was gently rebuking them for their lack of faith. And the faith here may be taken for confidence, which is produced and sharpened by faith. So in other words, when our Lord told the apostles that they had little faith, he was really saying that they lacked confidence. The second point is this. Our Lord asked his apostles, "Why are ye fearful?" And this is explained that fear is the cause of little faith. And so we see that it is likewise the cause of little confidence. For just as little faith is the cause of little confidence, so too is great faith the cause or the reason or the result of great confidence. Confidence is faith in someone, or it can be faith in something. We can put our faith in some other person that we know, someone who we love, someone who we only know by way of hearing about them or by reading about them. And we really don't know them. Or we can have confidence being in something, a material object. We can put our confidence in material temporal goods, inanimate things. But with regards to our Lord, confidence is saying to God, "I can't do it, but you can." That is why we have to put our faith in God, ultimately, to put our confidence in him. For God knows all things. He can do anything. God is all loving. And this means God knows what is best for us. He can do whatever is necessary to help us. And he loves us more than anyone else on earth. That is why we ought to have the greatest confidence in him, more so than in temporal goods or other people. He has to be our primary source of confidence. And also to realize that without God, we can do nothing. But as St. Paul says, with him, we can do all things. And my dear friends, every day we do face many, many difficulties. Since the time of Adam, every person has had to bear trials, to undergo tribulations, to be the person who is given the cross, to accept this or that difficulty. And these can weigh heavily upon us. The cross can make a person become overwhelmed and therefore saddened, and then just want to give up if they give into it. And we may feel like even at times complaining over our crosses, over the difficulties we've been given. We can let it go so far as to even become angry with ourselves over our situations, or we can manifest this anger towards other people, or even sometimes to material objects. We might even put the blame on other people or things when they go wrong for us. Temptations can be so strong and frequent that it seems as if there is no end in sight. They can come in many forms. Temptation is common to all. But no matter how much we may feel crushed beneath the weight of these trials, we have to remember we can overcome them. Not by running from them, not by trying to escape them, to shirk the cross, get rid of it, but by realizing that if we place all our confidence in Christ, he will give us the grace to bear with these tribulations. Our Lord said himself, "My yoke is sweet and my burden is light." So, in the midst of carrying our crosses, may we turn our worries, cares, difficulties, trials to him, to the cross, to our Lord. Turn to him with great confidence, knowing that with him you can do all things. When we read the gospel for today, and we might ask ourselves, why did our Lord wait so long to do anything? Why would he make the apostles go through this extreme torture of imminent death? They thought they were going to die. They're in the middle of a raging storm, and the boat is about to collapse, and he's asleep. And we may ask the same thing in our lives. We may sometimes wonder why he is waiting. What's the purpose? How can he allow all these evils to happen? How can he let these temptations become so severe? Why doesn't he prevent these temptations before they happen? Why didn't he prevent the storm from arising before it did? Or how come he doesn't take them away as soon as we ask him? The apostles were doing the same thing. Why does he wait until the last moment? But questions like this are questioning divine providence, and that we cannot do. We must be persuaded, firm belief, that whatever God does do, he does it for our good, for our sanctification, to make us better Catholics. Many things appear to us to be misfortunes, and we call them misfortunes, but they are not. They are really fortunes. We just put the, we add to it, and we make it a misfortune in our own mind. God is rather testing our confidence in him, and we have to keep that before our minds. Our Lord treats us just as he treated his apostles. And at such times, he treats us as he treated those for whom he had a special love and devotion. His collegiate body, the first priests, the first bishops of the church, St. Peter, and so on. And because of his great love for us, he treats us the very same way. And our Lord does this because he desires that we ask him for help. That's why he waits. He doesn't want us to rely on our own strength, to think that by ourselves we are capable of doing good. So pride sets in. He wants us to realize that without him, it is impossible to accomplish anything. That without him, we can do nothing. This is a humbling thought. And therefore, to overcome our pride and work on humility, our Lord allows us to wait. He waits himself to allow us to ask him for that help. And just as our Lord waited for his apostles to say, "Lord, save us, we perish," so too should we ask him for assistance. So in order to accomplish, in order to work out our confidence, to work on confidence, let us do two things. Ask God for it, number one, with great humility. That's why Our Lady was chosen to be the Mother of God, because of her great humility. And we should ask God on a daily basis, not just occasionally. Every day has to be continuous. The apostles would not have left our Lord until he woke up. They would have stood there over him saying, "Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, save us, we perish," and continued increasing in volume until he woke up. Sometimes we have to do that. Secondly, also, let us put our confidence in our Lord by begging him to help us, especially when we face great temptations or difficult duties. Anyone who puts his confidence, his trust in God, will not be defeated. For as it says in Psalm 124, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Sion." In other words, they shall be as an unshakable mountain in the face of all obstacles. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.